Welcome to the World Spire. After the party turned the table on their captors, they learned from Deputy Lear and his underling Binkley that Zeke, the man who had given his life to save them, had been a member of the Talons of Deep Sky. According to them, the Talons were a group of dangerous anarchists who opposed the rule of the Arakocra. Eventually, the party began to climb through the city until their attention was caught by a mournful wind, which led them to the rescue of a caged panther which they named Onyx. She told them that she had been sent to be by Zelus's side, by the Eternal Storm itself. Chapter 2, The Vertical City, Part 3.
As you guys continue through the city, eventually you come to a point where you're not able to find any ladders or stairwells to continue climbing up. So you end up taking a road leading to the east a little bit. Eventually you come across an area of town called Safarjay Plateau.
Oh.
And this is a large outcropping of limestone that's sticking out from the spire. This is an uncommonly wide area of land that's horizontal, and as such, it's a very densely populated area because having a large expanse of horizontal land is a rare luxury in this world. On Safarjay Plateau, the whole thing is covered with this big thriving market, and it's very densely populated here, but you're able to sort of lose yourself among the crowd. Like, you get some looks from people just because, you know, you have a giant snake and a panther with you.
Yeah.
And Zelus herself is pretty scary.
Thanks.
But people, when they look at your group, they also see Tintsy and they're like, okay, well, they can't be all bad. There's this adorable gnome with them.
Yeah.
People give you a little bit of a wide berth just because of the scary members of the party, but, like, nobody's calling the guards on you or anything. And it's also pretty easy to if you wanted to disappear, it would be pretty easy to do so among the crowd. While you're walking through the market, feel free to interrupt me at any point while I'm describing what you see, if you want to take a closer look at anything.
Is there any way that a massive snake could make myself look less conspicuous?
You could potentially, if Zelus is cool with it, ride on Zelus's shoulders, because Zelus has also got this panther, so probably people would just assume that she's some kind of animal tamer or something.
Okay, let me put this to you. We all have heard about feather boas being really fashionable.
just cut out the middleman.
Nope. Yeah, just straight up a boa. What do you say?
Tinsy will translate that for her.
I'll allow it this once. But if you ever get me that near to me...
Do it in the voice.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
You gotta do the voice.
I'll allow it this once, but never get that near to me ever again.
You won't even notice.
I translate that.
Fine.
So I slide up and wrap myself around her neck very fashionably. Like, I wanna, like, just wrap myself around once and then let, like, my tail just kind of, like, dangle, you know, just kind of like loose. It's very like a slimming effect to have the eye drawn up and down like that.
Yeah.
So you're welcome. Also, can I sniff her again?
Which one?
Zelus? Yeah, Zelus definitely doesn't smell how you would expect a person to smell. Like,
does it smell good?
She wants to eat you.
One.
Wink, wink.
Once a long time ago, you were called on, like, one of your earliest druid missions, you were called to help heal a dragon, and she smells kind of like that.
Smoky.
Yeah.
Tinsy is kind of looking at them, like, a little jealous, like, I want to be part of this.
Do you want to cuddle? Are you jealous of this cuddle?
Yes. But that's okay. You guys are coming close. And that's a good sign. And she, like, kind of, like, side-eyes Onyx, like, okay, it's okay. It's okay. Dizzy's okay. Dizzy doesn't need to sit on anything. Anything soft and plush. And, okay, no, it's okay. It's okay. She can walk. She has two legs. Okay, so let's go, guys.
So the looks that you're getting are now less suspicious and more like, oh, look at this fashionable woman with, like, with this, like, cutting-edge boa. Like,
living this boa fantasy.
And you see, some of the more wealthy-looking people, like, whispering to each other, just like, is this a new style? I should look into live snake scarves.
Oh my God. I am draping myself very dramatically across her shoulders. With that tail still hanging down, but I look fucking great.
Yeah, you look on point.
Thanks.
Zelis has never looked better.
And Zelis is kind of annoyed that she's getting a lot of attention. Like, she really, like, is very annoyed at the fact that people keep looking at her.
Zelis is nice and warm.
Okay. We probably want to be a little bit more sneaky. Things are after us.
So as you progress through the market, you see all kinds of sights and sounds, smells, like people, vendors that have all kinds of goods from all over, all sides of the world, Spire, and just all kinds of smells and things.
I am definitely looking up those smells.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
As you're passing by, you see like some children playing in the market. You pass by this one half-orc woman who's wearing this yellow summer dress, and she's under a parasol, and she seems to be giving out samples of this, like, orcish fire sauce.
Ooh.
Ooh. Tinty runs over.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. Tinty kind of skips over. Hi there!
Hello, little one.
What do you have there?
Well, I've come from the other side of the spire. I come bringing orcish fire sauce. Would you like to try a sample?
What's in it?
Black orc peppers. They're the spiciest thing you'll ever have tasted.
Can I smell it?
Yeah, it smells spicy as fuck.
I'm gonna stay away from that, even though I'm really hungry.
If that's okay, would I be able to take a little bit?
Absolutely. And she, like, takes this, like, big black bottle with, like, sort of a painting of, like, a scary-looking pepper on it, and puts a single drop on this, like, little cracker and hands it to you.
Thanks! And I walk away with it. I don't actually eat it. And I want to scream behind me, your dress is real pretty!
Thanks, little one! So yeah. You continue walking through the market. There's still lots of more hustle, bustle, and life all around you. And you see, you pass by this one fountain, and there's, actually, around the fountain, there's this group of alluringly androgynous merfolk who are wearing these anklets that turn their tails into legs so that they can travel on the land.
Do they smell good?
They smell a little fishy, but not in a bad way.
Mm.
but yeah, they're wearing so nothing but these, like, loose iridescent scale wraps. They've got those anklets on their left legs, and they're standing around the fountain, and they're performing this enchantingly foreign-sounding song using these strange alien instruments.
What are the instruments made out of?
So some of them seem to be made out of, like, shells and have, like, strings, but, like, they sound more like wind instruments. If you want, you can stay a minute and listen to a bit of their song.
We gotta keep going, I think.
I'd say we keep going.
Hey, but if they can get feet, can we get you feet?
Oh,
wait, sorry, what?
True.
Like, they have feet, and they have tails, and you have a tail. Do you think we could get, one of theirs and get you feet? Or, I mean, I feel like you're kind of digging the snakes up.
I mean, like,
Feral, you're...
I mean, do miss my feet.
Do we risk it, or do you want to, like, you know,
put it on? Do you think it'll just give me only feet?
Oh, that's not... You know what? I don't want that nightmare.
As you're talking about this, you can hear a little bit of their song, and their dialect is pretty thick, so it's a little difficult to make out exactly what the song's about, but it seems to be telling this legend of a great flood that happened thousands of years ago when this place called the Spring of Life flooded and covered almost the entirety of the Orgalad Mountains and became what we now know as the Meridian Ocean. And, yeah, sorry.
Oh, Tinsy wants to go over now.
Yeah? So you go over and you're listening to the song, and you get the impression that, like, if you did stay and listen a little while, you'd be able to get more details of the story.
I look over you guys really expectantly.
You guys have been walking for hours. You could take a load off for a
few minutes. They've been walking for hours. I'm good.
I mean, you've been slithering for hours.
So I look over at Zealous instead. Zealous? I feel like this is really important.
A side note, Tessa wants to stay, but I feel like Zealous would not.
Zealous, this is really important. We know things are happening, and things are going bad. I think this is really important for us.
And if you don't, I'll tickle you.
She said she'll tickle you.
Fine.
Sweet!
Alright, so you guys decide to take a bit of a break and listen to their song for a little while.
Is this considered a long rest?
Sorry?
Is this considered a rest?
Depends how long you stay. Definitely not a long rest, because that would be like a full sleep.
I need
to spell
slump back.
So as a half-elf, I'm able to meditate and take half as long to get stuff back. As a sneak, I imagine that's gone?
Yeah, I don't think you'd be able to do that right now.
Okay.
Probably your mind's in too much chaos to meditate anyway.
Everything.
But yeah, so you watch them.
I'm trying to sniff everything, okay?
I'll start sniff.
So you get closer, you have this this better look at... They have like this smooth, shiny skin. Their skin colors tend to fall in a range somewhere between turquoise and purple. They have slightly muscular bodies, and where a land-dwelling humanoid might have hair atop of their head, the merfolk have this fin that runs from just above their forehead to the back of their head and down their backs. And they also have a fin on either side of their head, which protects their gills. So as you listen to this song, you sort of start to pick up the fact that there's more details in this song than... you would have heard in any version of this legend that you've ever heard told by an above-land-dwelling person. And you start to get the impression that this story actually centers around these four siblings, and that one of these siblings caused the Great Flood in order to protect one of the others. After a while, you notice that the merfolk are occasionally shooting grateful looks in your direction, and you realize that you've been sitting there listening to the song for about half an hour. If you were thinking about the short rest, a short rest is 1 hour. But
I mean, I'm okay with this so far.
Yeah, so you've been listening for half an hour so far, and you've picked up this detail about there being four siblings, and one of them causing the flood to protect another one of them. And there's this one refrain that keeps on repeating through the song, which you're starting to realize Mirmish songs are a lot longer than songs that you would normally hear above the surface, because it's been half an hour already and you don't really know whether or not they're about to finish. But this one refrain that keeps repeating, you feel like if you could just listen a little bit longer, you would start to be able to piece together what this one refrain is trying to say.
Do we all feel that way?
Yeah, you all get that impression. Well, unless you're just zoning out, which Zealous might be doing and not paying attention to the story.
I feel like Zealous might be a little annoyed that we're taking the rest, because I feel like she would just be like, we could continue.
I've been taking this time to scope out some of those bracelets on their feet.
Are you guys going to continue listening?
Tinsy wants to.
I'll do it.
Okay.
Zealous, are you cool?
Fine.
So you continue listening, and sure enough, you do start to piece together a little bit more of what the refrain is. And unfortunately, you're never able to really put the full story together, but you do start to realize that the refrain is about the other two siblings, and you realize that it's saying that one of these two siblings was murdered and the other one lost themselves in their grief. But eventually the song does end, and it's been an hour, so you can all go into your D&D Beyond character sheets and hit the short rest button.
So have they been, like, dancing or moving their feet?
Yeah, they've been dancing around.
Do their bracelets, like, jingle a lot, or are they really stuck on there?
They're fairly loose, but, like, not so loose that they would accidentally fall off. One of the merfolk actually approaches you, because everyone else has sort of come and listened for a couple minutes and kept going. But one of the merfolk does approach you and says,
"Thank you for listening to our whole song. It seems that most land dwellers do not have the patience for mermish performance." As they say this, they reach into their pouch, retrieving a sack of coins that were tossed to them throughout the morning. "We have no need for land dwellers' coin, but it would please me if you would take it as a token of our appreciation."
Isn't that usually the other way around?
They have no use for land money. I feel like Tinsy wouldn't take it.
"Well, please, I insist." Since Tinsy doesn't seem to want to take it, they offer it to Zealous instead.
Would we... I'm saying this as me, exchange it for a bracelet?
Oh, yeah. Do you want me to ask or are you gonna ask?
Instead of the money, we'd like a bracelet.
"Oh, well, we need these to get back home."
Do you know where we could find one?
"Oh, I'm afraid we only make these back in our hometown, and that's far below the surface of the water."
I have a weird question.
Anything for you.
Oh, you're so sweet. Your voice is beautiful, by the way.
Thank
really
you.
Well
you're
done.
Beautiful.
Oh, what's your name?
Oh my god, this thing is rolling its eyes again.
"My name is Merla."
"Merla, my friend here," and I point to our big snake.
And
our big
kind
snake
of,
energy.
Like a yo. And my tail.
"So, my friend here, Peril, she has turned into a snake temporarily."
"Oh dear."
"And we don't know how to help her. And, you know, we don't know if the bracelet would work. Would we be able just to see?"
"Oh, I'm afraid I don't believe it would work. It is made for aquatic animals."
"Oh, Snakes aren't aquatic, are they?"
"Not typically."
"Hmm. Are you aquatic, Feral?"
"I could go in that fountain and find out."
"Maybe you might scare them. Let's not do that."
"Oh."
"Okay. Do you have any ideas where we might be able to go to find something? Like, do you know where the library... I'm not sure where to go with this, guys."
"I'm sorry, I really don't know what to do with your snake friend. I do have this coin that I would like you to take, but if you don't want it, that is all right."
"I mean, your story was so beautiful. Do you really have no need for the coin?"
I take it.
Oh,
we'll take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm gonna... add, let's see,
you guys.
See how much money you get.
Oh.
Let me take my little snake tail and jingle it. How much is in there? Merla?
Merla?
Sounds like a good...
Hang on.
Wow, there's so many in here. My snake ears are perceiving there to be so much.
Okay, so let's see, we've got... it's 21 gold.
Oh, nice. Okay, that's not bad. When this happens, Tinsy wants to... Can I hold Merla's hand?
Sure.
Okay, so I'm like, Merla...
Merla sort of, like, gives you both hands and, like, clasps your hand.
Oh, like, Merla, your story was really beautiful, and that was really kind of you to give us the coin. If you ever need any help, anything ever happens, you can always call for me, Little Lightbearer.
Little Lightbearer, I shall remember you.
Awesome.
Did you steal the bracelet?
No.
Oh.
So, as you continue through the plateau, you do pass by some other vendors, and one catches your eye, Feral. You see this one cart, and in golden scrawling font on the side, you see the words Amarantha Jones.
Jones.
Guys? Guys.
Yeah.
Let's go look at the cart. Just no reason. Let's go. I got a good snake sense feeling about this cart.
Can, at this point, we just assume I translate everything she says for Zealous?
Yeah, yes. Let's do that, yeah.
Okay. No reason, but the cart is calling out to me, and I just want to see if my sneaky self can find anything that would interest me. Let's go, please. Can we go?
Why not?
I think because since Feral went earlier for the panther, I'll be like, fine. this time in exchange.
Well, she didn't. She
if you don't, I will tickle you.
Fights me every fucking chance she gets.
All right, so you approach the cart, and there's a young human man who's very attractive, by the way, who's manning this cart, and he's giving out samples of perfume, which is labeled Crescent Valley Dew. So he's like calling out to people, trying to get them to try these samples.
Would the perfume be too overwhelming for my snake smells?
Hard to say.
What do you want to do here?
Well, I don't want to scare him.
Neither do I.
Maybe you could just strike up a conversation.
Okay. Hey there!
Hello there. Would you like to try a sample of Crescent Valley Dew by Amaranthe Jones?
Ooh, what's in it?
Oh, well, it has notes of morning dew with a sweet, sharp smell.
Ooh, can my snake here take a smell?
I suppose so.
Why are you doing this to me?
I don't know what you want here.
And so he gives a spritz towards the snake. And the smell is pretty intense for you, but like you could get the sense that it would smell... Normally it would smell nice enough.
That's great.
And like you all live in the wild, so you prefer the smell of actual morning dew. But like you imagine that to a city slicker, this would smell very nice and fresh. But weirdly enough, it actually does kind of smell like the real hidden village of Crescent Valley.
Tell them it could use like a little bit more of that distilled Mountain Dew essence. But other than that, it's like an okay blend.
Hold on. What did you say? Oh yeah, it can do more with the
it's mountain. A good blend, but it needs some more actual essence of distilled Mountain Dew.
Oh my god, I'm never gonna remember that.
And not like Mountain Dew with the capital. Because he's just gonna
really, because I don't think I'm supposed to fully understand what you're saying, right?
Yeah, like, it's only a rough understanding.
It smells good, but it needs more Mountain Dew. That real essence. With the S, because it's a snake!
Fuck you.
Well, can't be for everybody, I guess.
Where did you come across the ingredients for these?
Oh, well, I don't make this. My boss, Gwendolyn, she's the one who's in charge of making all the products here.
Oh, is she around? I really like these.
Oh, no, she actually lives up in the mountains. You missed her by a couple days. She headed back home not too long ago, but she was in town recently.
Can you ask him if, like, Gwendolyn, was she okay?
Okay, I think that might scare him off, because that's real personal, but okay.
No, okay, well, maybe.
He's sort of looking between Tinsy and the snake, just like, what's happening here?
How was she faring when she came back? I heard there was some real, so a lot of things were happening up in the mountain.
Really? I hadn't heard anything. She seemed to be her usual perky self.
Isn't it pretty dangerous to get up there? Is there a route up there that's a little safe?
Oh, yeah, well, she always, from what I understand, I've never been up to where she lives in the mountains, but from what I understand, she just takes the kite from the Royal Aarakocran updraft, and she's there within a couple days.
What if, like, is there a scenic route up there? You know, we're travelers, and we really love just, you know, really experiencing nature and everything. Do you know if there's a scenic route we can go down?
Well, I know she lives in the mountains. I don't really know where, so I wouldn't be able to give you directions. Sorry.
That's disappointing.
I don't know that I should even, really, just give my boss's address to, you know.
I'm not looking for an address. I think you misunderstood me.
Okay,
sorry.
Is there a way, this is me talking and not Feral. Is there a way I can get a message to him that only, like, he would understand? Do I recognize this person?
No.
Okay.
There's probably some assumptions that you could make about him, but I don't want to say it in a way that everyone could hear.
Yeah.
Do you want me to take off my headphones?
No, I'll just text it to Annie.
Okay, yeah, hang on. We're taking a text break.
Text break!
Are you fucking kidding me?
Are these good assumptions?
I feel like I need to take a brief recess to figure out how the fuck I'm supposed to use this to my advantage.
Not everything that you know is necessarily going to be to your advantage or not.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Does the Aarakocra, do they know how, like, who we are yet?
You don't know.
Fuck. Do you know she's going to be coming back? I'm just really curious about these products. They smell so good.
Well, I expect that she usually comes back every 2 to 3 weeks. But she said that she's planning on spending some quality time with her daughter when she gets back to her home. That's really all I know. If it's okay with you, I do need to get back to giving out samples to the people here in the market.
Oh, yeah, no, I understand. I guess we're done. Thank you so much for answering all our questions. Really great product. Real top notch.
Thank you. So you guys, you have a great day.
You too. Bye. And I, like, try to, like, pull them along. Like, at this point, we've like, creeped him out.
Yeah, he looks really confused. So, yeah, you guys are approaching the center of the plaza. It's getting to be afternoon now, so the sun is coming out from behind the eternal storm. And you notice that the crowd is actually getting quite a bit thicker, and there's a lot of people pushing towards the center of the plaza, which happens to be the direction you're going in anyway, so it's very easy to sort of disappear among the crowd right now. As you get to the center of the plaza, you start hearing this excited murmuring in the crowd all around you, and I'm going to get you all to roll perception for me, please.
Cool. Rolling.
So I got really? 16 plus 1, so 17.
I got 12, so plus 1, 13.
Sorry, I just can't remember if my perception changed when I became sneaky.
I think it's wisdom, so you should be okay.
I got a 7.
So, 7? Then plus...
it's 1 plus 6.
Oh.
I critically fail.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, okay, so...
I can't add any more modifiers to it. Okay, I critically failed, you guys.
So
yeah, I was so fucking just...
Yeah, Feral's...
Racking my head.
Yeah, Feral's just really lost in thought about, like, what she heard at that booth. But what did the other two of you roll?
17 in total.
12 plus 1, so 13.
Okay. So, Feral isn't really catching on to this, but the other two of you, you're able to pick out in the excited murmuring all around you. People are saying that the Aarakocra have caught a member of the Talons of Deep Sky.
Oh, shit.
As you reach the center of the plaza, you see this human mother holding her child and pushing against the crowd and trying to leave, and you hear her saying, "I hate it when they do this! People bring their children to the market!" And over the excited murmur of the crowd, you hear a powerful female voice of a crier making an announcement. And she says, "Rejoice, people of Deep Sky, for your beloved Prince Klitsafrajay of the Aarakocra has brought justice to a powerful member of the Talons of Deep Sky." And the crowd erupts into applause and cheering at this announcement. And as you get closer, a large stage comes into view, and behind the stage, there's a huge statue of an old Aarakocran king behind it. And the crier is standing at the front end side of the stage, and it's a young human woman, and she's dressed in the vestments of the royal family's servants. She wears rectangular glasses, and she has like a sensible bun of dusty blonde hair on top of her head. At the front and center of the stage, you see the assassin prince, and he's waving absently to all of his adoring subjects. And behind the prince, in the center of the stage, there's this small but kind of tall black tent, and it would only be big enough to hold a couple of people standing upright. And the crier is holding this scroll out in front of her, and once the crowd's applause dies down, she continues reading and says, "The prince, in his efficiency, could not suffer the Talon to live, and so we regret that we cannot perform his execution here for you today. However, in lieu of this, we have brought you the anarchist, and he shall now confess his crimes to you himself." And the crowd gets very excited by this, and they're cheering and laughing with anticipation, and you hear, like, smatterings of applause. And the assassin prince, like, done with his waving, returns to his seat at the back of the stage, where he and his family are watching both the performance as well as the audience's reactions to it.
Since he's seething right now.
Yeah.
She's trying so hard not to freak the fuck out.
Can we hide behind anything?
So Tintsy can't actually see what's going on, but you can hear mm-hmm. all this. You're too short, so you can't see over anyone's head.
I'm tiny AF, guys.
But Zealous and Feral, Onyx can't see this either. But Zealous and Feral, since Feral's on Zealous' shoulders, are able to see all this happening. To the prince's right, you see his mother, the queen. She's got, like, a hawk's face and coloring, and she appears to be brimming with pride, and she leans over to privately exchange some words with the prince while he sits down. And she's dressed in this overwhelmingly opulent clothing. All Eric Cochran clothing is pretty light to allow them to fly, but so it's not, like, as big and poofy as you would expect, like, a human noble's clothes to be, but it's still got jewels sewn into it and really elaborate embroidery. To her right is the king, who seems to be blue and have the same coloring as the prince, but he's largely obscured by the tent, so you can't really make out too many details of him. And then to his right, you see the princess, who shares her mother's appearance, but not her disposition. She looks like she would rather be anywhere else in the world. She wears a similar style of dress to her mother, but it's much more modest in its tailoring. And then on either side of the royal family, there's an Eric Cochran royal guard, which, again, you can tell they're royal family guards because they are Eric Cochran. Mm-hmm. The crowd's enthusiasm swells and then turns to booing as the tent is thrown open. Can I have you all make a perception check again?
Use your peepers.
I got a 21.
21, okay.
18 plus
critical
1.
Critical fail!
Oh. So, Titsy, well, I guess you makes wouldn't sense. Have been able to see it anyway, because, yeah, I shouldn't have even had you roll. Yeah. Sorry, Azealus, what did you get?
18 plus 1, so 19.
Okay, so yeah, both of you, you see the tent thrown open, and you see Zeke's body step out of the tent, but both of you, before the flap of the tent shuts all the way, you see an Arakakra sitting inside of the tent with these two sort of like mannequin crosses that he's holding in his hand, and he's got like the face of a bearded vulture and red painted feathers, but you only see him for like the briefest of moments before the tent closes again. And Zeke sort of struts out to the front of the stage with his arms held open as if he's like receiving uproarious applause, whereas he's actually receiving all this booing and like people are throwing things onto the stage, and he's just got like this cocky look on his face, and he's still got that arrow sticking out of his head. And he walks up to the front of the stage, and the booing quiets down, and he waits for it to stop all the way, and he says in a clearly Eric Cochran voice, "You got me!" And like, the audience loses their shit at this. They find it hilarious.
Guys, what's going on? Who walked out? Who walked out?
While this audience is jeering, can I maybe slip off of Zealous and make my way over? Do you think that would be...
Oh, you want to try and get towards the stage?
I want to try and sneak closer.
Okay, yeah, you can totally do that.
Zealous, are you going to tell me what's happening?
I'll just whisper, "It's Zeke."
You can give her a piggyback when I go.
True. Do you want to get up on my shoulders?
Is that okay?
It's fine. I offer. Get up.
Like, since he climbs up her.
Okay. I'm going to roll, see how far I can get.
So while you're doing that, Timmy climbs up.
Okay.
Sorry, what was that roll you were doing? Was that stealth? Or?
Yeah, 6 plus 3, 9.
You bump into a lot of people along the way, and they're like, there's some reactions, but like, over the crowd sound that's happening, the general crowd doesn't catch on that you're falling through, but there are definitely some freaked out people in the audience there.
Can I get close enough to be able to see the, I'm gonna guess, necromancer in the tent?
You'd have to be, like, on the stage and in the tent to see the necromancer, yeah.
At this point, Tintsy is, like, just dead quiet. And finally, she just goes, she's like, she's just, she like leans over and whispers in Zealous' ears, "I need to get him. I need to get him."
"You're gonna stay right here on my shoulders where you're fucking supposed to stay."
"They have his fucking body. We have to go get him."
So as the crowd sound dries down, you hear Zeke's body continue, and he says, "My name is John Drivel, and my Talon cronies used to know me as the Savage Blade." And the crowd's just like, "Boo!" And like more throwing of things. "Alas, I was leading my men on the perfect plot to overthrow and claim the eastern villages of the mountains, but your clever prince was always two steps ahead of me." And he puts his hands on his hips and says, "Or should I say, two flaps?" And again, the audience just loves this. They're eating it up.
Tinsy leans over to Zeela and says, "Okay, is he really dead? Because I feel like he would actually say this."
How far am I from the stage now?
So you've managed to get pretty much right up to the stage, and you can either watch from, like, sort of between people's feet, or tell me what you want to do.
Is it like a wooden stage?
It's like a large round stone stage.
Stone.
Yeah.
Are there any... Is the tent connected to anything? Are there any poles or ropes drawn across the square?
The tent seems to be, like, standing as its own structure.
How far am I away from the...
You guys, let me just double check on that.
I was just going to ask the same thing.
So, Tinsy and Zealous, you are about 200 feet from the stage.
Oh.
Wait, 200 feet?
Mm-hmm. See.
Can we get closer? I want to get closer.
Are there any, like, props or baskets or anything close to the stage that I can hide in?
The production seems to have... It was very likely thrown together quite quickly, since they would have only just procured the body. So no, there isn't really anything except for the stage and Zeke. And also the crier is still standing where she was, but you actually notice, now that you're closer to the stage, she is not looking at Zeke at all. She's just staring straight ahead, like, and she has this, like, intentionally blank look on her face, and she's hiding whatever emotion she's feeling.
What's around us right now? Is there, like, buildings or tents or, like...
So the central plaza where the stage is a very wide open area, and there's crowd all around you, but that's pretty much...
There's nothing else around.
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay, let me posit something. So snakes and other animals can smell fear on people.
Uh-huh.
Can I, like, flick my little tongue flicker in the direction of the town crier and see if I can get any, like, feelings of distress off of her?
I'll have you roll an insight roll.
So I got a 19 plus 6, so 25.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Holy fuck!
Yeah, you're easily...
You saw the universe.
Yeah, man, your perception's really good. You're going to be able to, like, just see everything.
Nothing gets past this.
But yeah, so you flick your tongue in her direction, and you can... just sense, like, seething hatred and, like, sadness from her.
Okay.
Interesting. Tinsy's gonna do something. The people that were cheering, like, can I differentiate the people that were cheering for Zeke? Against Zeke, sorry? That was booing for him and stuff?
You get the impression that there were people who didn't want to see this, but most of them have already left.
Okay. I want to set someone's clothes on fire in the crowd.
How do you plan to do this?
I have a torch in my pack.
Okay.
I want to cause chaos. So I want to get off of Zealous, and I want to run like a little further ahead and set someone in the middle of the crowd on fire, because I'm tiny enough.
Yeah, you can run through people's legs pretty easily.
I'm going to set someone on fire.
While she does that, could I maybe work my way to around the back of the stage, even though it's round, just to be kind of, like, in the back?
You could. If you're thinking of trying to access the royal family, No?
I'm thinking more so of, like, if we can save Zeke and whatever happens. Like, I feel like the back of the stage would be where, like, either people leave or... shit happens, you know what I mean?
Possibly. It is a fairly large, like, open air stage, so there's not really a backstage area or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Zeke's all the way at the front of the stage, so maybe as they leave the stage, you could be there, but you also have to consider that the royal family would also be leaving from that angle as well.
True.
So I set people on fire.
Yes, okay. So Zelus, Tinsy suddenly, like, jumps down from your shoulders and, like, disappears into the crowd, like, running between people's legs, and you're not sure what she's up to. You start approaching the stage, like, pushing your way through the crowd, and Onyx is at your heels behind you. All of a sudden, you see this little wisp of smoke over, like, in the audience, and suddenly there's, like, a bunch of shouting and whooping and yelling coming from that direction, and, like, some panic seems to be starting a couple dozen yards away from you. As the crowd starts panicking, this so-called John Drivel Zeke on the stage is continuing his story as if nothing's happening. It's like he's not even aware that there's anything going on in the audience. You're starting to tune out what he's saying, because it's clearly, like, a bunch of, like, bogus and contradictory stories that are just kind of bleeding into each other, and there's no useful information there, because you can tell it's all lies.
I'm still looking at the town crier.
Yeah, you probably are starting to hear the panic that's happening in the crowd behind you, but it hasn't reached you yet.
Has she seen it?
Yeah, like, the crier and the royal family and the guards at the back of the stage, they've noticed the commotion, for sure. And while Zeke continues his phony stories, the guards do run to the front of the stage. One of them leaps up into the air and starts flying over to where the fire is. I don't know if Tinsy is still there.
Or Tinsy's just straight up running around setting people on fire continuously to cause straight up panic. But I'm running. I'm kind of weaving around, but I'm running towards the stage.
Okay. Eventually, it's at the point where, even though Zeke is still continuing his performance as if nothing is happening, like, the whole area is in chaos, and, like, the other guard who didn't fly into the audience is, like, escorting the royal family away, and the assassin prince is, like, he clearly doesn't want to be led away, but he's trying to see what's going on, but the royal family is taken out of the scene at this point. Like, you can barely hear what Zeke is even saying at this point over all the, like, the bedlam and chaos going on in the audience.
Have the guards moved away from the back of the stage? Is there an opening there?
Yeah, so the back of the stage is all completely empty now.
I'm going to try and go around to the back of the stage and slither into the tent.
Okay. You slither around to the back of the stage, and Zeke seems to be finishing up one of his stories. Like, as you approach the back of the stage, you just hear him saying, "I kept running for hours like the coward I was before finally finding myself cornered on the ledge of a mountain peak. I turned around and there he was. He had never lost my trail. As I pitifully begged for forgiveness, I could see it in his eyes. After all the people I killed, after all the crimes I committed, it was his duty to bring me to justice there and then. After that," he points to the arrow in his head, "my memory gets a little fuzzy." And he, like, opens his arms again for applause, but nobody's listening to him at this point. They're all, like, running around screaming. A bunch of them are on fire. You get onto the stage, and you manage to slip into the back of the necromancer's tent without really anyone noticing you.
Yes.
So you're just under this small wooden bench that he's sort of sitting on. He's clearly too big for this bench, but he hasn't noticed you yet, because you just see these two, like, bird-like feet sitting in front of you at this point. And you can sort of see these magical threads coming down from the crosses, which you assume are part of whatever enchantment is controlling Zeke.
While all of this is happening, what is Zelus doing?
Oh yeah, Zelus, where are you at?
I was going to ask who was in the tent left, and then I was going to ask if I was far enough to use my longbow, set my arrow on fire, and shoot it into the tent to set the tent on fire. But since Feral is in the tent right now, I don't really want to do that.
Yeah, so you lower your bow as you see Snake Feral entering the tent. You're just like,
yeah. So I don't really know what I'm going to do now.
You're going to head towards the stage?
I guess I could.
I mean, it's up to you. Tinsy's definitely beelining towards Zeke.
Onyx at this point is sort of, like, looking up at you and, like, sort of getting scared by all the chaos. Just, like, the spell is definitely over by this point, but, like, she gives you a sort of which seems to be, like, inquiring, like, what you should do at this point.
I have a question. You said there's a guard still in the air, right?
Yeah, he's like flying around trying to put out fires at this point.
You could shoot him now.
Okay, I'll shoot
and set him on fire.
I'll shoot a fiery arrow at the guard.
I'm curious if you have a reason to do this.
I don't know. I think the chaos is getting to me. Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to. Well, I'm just saying.
I wanted to set the tent on fire, but I can't do that now. So I'll set something on fire.
All right. Before I resolve Zealous's shot, I want to know what Feral's going to be doing here in the tent.
So I was thinking that I could flick my tongue near his feet, make it feel like maybe a spider.
Okay.
See if I can distract him a little bit.
You, like, tickle the back of his foot with your tongue, and you hear, like, Zeke out on the stage, like, what the hell was that?
I want to tickle the other foot.
Ah! Well, and so, like, Zealous, like, as you're, like, getting ready to shoot this guard down, you see, like, Zeke on the stage just, like, jumping as if there's something on his feet and, like, like trying to slap it around. And then he just, like, goes limp and slumps down onto the stage and, Feral, you see the Arakakra, like, jump up and, like, he's turning around to bend down and take a look at you. However, before we figure out whether or not he sees you, let's resolve that shot that Zealous is trying to do.
Yeah.
Tickle power! You said a snake didn't have powers.
I guess I was wrong.
She's like, I never want to have feet again.
I can tickle real good. I can see real good. I can smell real good.
You'll lick a lot of things.
I can lick a hell of a lot of things. Oh. Yeah.
And honestly, if I'm tired, I could just, like, grab onto you and sleep. I am tiny.
Yeah.
You're bigger. You're, like, really big, like, compared to me. You got big snake energy.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'll get you to roll attack with your bow, Zealous.
Okay. 20, so 23.
Holy shit! Oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, I think your dice's weights are off, but I'll allow it.
I don't understand it. I swear to God, I can show you guys.
I believe you. I believe you.
I believe you.
So, your arrow flies straight and true and flaming. You just sort of, like, before you shoot, you dip your arrow, like, on one of the nearby panicking villagers. And then fire it casually off towards this Arakakrid guard who's flying by towards another one of the fires, and you manage to, like, hit him in the wing, and he just, like, plummets down into the audience.
Good.
And, like, more chaos.
And you hear Tazima from the sits, nice!
Starting to smell a little bit like fried chicken over here.
So, yeah, this bearded vulture Arakakra leans down, and he's startled to be face-to-face with this huge snake.
But you're
also quite startled, because bearded vultures are ugly.
And don't they eat snakes?
I'm going to have you do a wisdom contest against him to see how this goes for you.
I'm pretty wise.
Do they actually eat snake, Tessa?
I thought so. I don't know.
Oh, shit.
15.
Is that a 7? Yeah, it's a 7.
Plus 6, that's 13.
13.
So, he is unflinching and just sort of, like, screeches loudly in your face. But he does step out of the tent, and you hear his wings flutter as he takes off. And you guys see this necromancer, like, lift up into the air and, like, look at the chaos all around him and just, like, look baffled, but he quickly flies off before anyone can react.
Am I at the stage yet?
Were you approaching the stage? Yes.
Yeah, the whole time I was running to the stage.
Oh, okay, I thought you were just running around burning random people.
Oh, no, I mean, I was beelining burning people.
Oh, I see. Sorry, I must have missed that. But yes, okay. I'll say yes, you're at the stage.
Am I able to, like, get up to Zeke? Am I able to, like, go to Zeke?
Yeah, you can climb up onto the stage.
Okay, I run past, is that lady that was the town lady?
Right?
Yeah. Is she still on the stage? Did she run off?
Actually, you see her, like, she's still standing there, but she is looking at Zeke, and she's sort of holding herself and, like, shaking a little bit.
I, like, awkwardly walk past her, just, like, eyeballing her. Like, I kind of just go over to Zeke, like, okay, she hasn't run off, that's weird. And just, like, and I meander over to Zeke and, like, go and check to see, like, to look over his body.
Well, as you approach him, she finally snaps and she runs over and stands between you and Zeke and says, don't touch him!
And who are you? You weren't trying to save him!
And she looks around and, like, sees that there's so much chaos going on that no one's going to overhear you. And she says, my name is Lorelei Songstrom. I'm Zeke's sister. And that's where we're going to leave off for tonight.
Oh, shit. Literally was gonna be like, I'm gonna pull my sword out on her. I'm like, no, I'll just ask her.
Yay.
Yay.
I feel so sad for
but
her.
But also, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that ended way differently than I thought it would.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, that was not one of the endings I had written. So I'm gonna have to totally reconsider what happens.
Sorry.
I was not expecting you to actually meet Lorelei for a while.
Oh, you fucking shit up.
Were you like, oh no, what was your moment of, oh no, this is going differently than I thought in that crowd?
When you started burning people, first of all.